tonight we are beginning a new series. We just finished up last week. We were going through relationships, and we had a really great time last weekend with Ed and Sharon. Did you guys enjoy them?
Yeah.
They were good. Good. If you missed the conference or you missed the service, those recordings are on our website, so you can go back and take part of those. But tonight we're starting, like I said, we are starting a new series called Kingdom of Me. And we're going to be looking at how we tend to try to build our own kingdoms, how we try to build up ourselves, and how really we are encouraged to really deny ourselves and actually build the kingdom of God. And so we're gonna be looking at that over the next few weeks. And I will say the series is going to be a little heavy for us. Okay, it's going to be dealing with some stuff that maybe we don't like to talk about. But it's important that we do as believers, as followers in Jesus. It's important that we look at the Word and allow it to prune our lives, right? We don't change the Word should change us. When we approach Scripture, we should allow it to prune our hearts and our lives. And if we respond to God's grace in our lives in the areas we're going to discuss, there will be freedom, okay? There will be life and freedom. And the blueprint for this series is actually in 2 Timothy chapter 3, which is what we're going to read first. And this is Paul's words to Timothy. He's challenging Timothy. Timothy is kind of his spiritual son. Timothy's pastoring a church probably at this point. Some theologians think he was probably maybe in his 20s, and he was pastoring a church of a couple of thousand at this point. I don't know exactly, but that's what a lot of theologians believe. So Paul is encouraging Timothy and him leading this church. And we're going to read in chapter 3, we're going to read the first five verses out of 2 Timothy. And this is what he says. He says, "But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents." All the parents say,
amen.
"Ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power." And he says to avoid such people. Okay? Now, so that's going to be the blueprint for this series that we're going to be walking through over the next few weeks. And you know, it's scary to read this list and then look at our society, kind of hold this list up to society and go, oh my gosh, like every single one of these things, we could probably list off an example of it in our lives pretty quickly. But then what's even worse is when we hold ourselves up to this list, right? When we take the mirror and we go, oh my, like, right? I mean, there's all stuff in this list that I guarantee we hold a mirror up to ourselves and we're going to see. And so that's why I really feel like the Lord is calling us to go through this series. And you know, to make matters worse, it seems, Paul ends this part by saying, avoid such people. I mean, think about that. Paul is saying, this list of people, stay away from them, right? And you're like, oh, but I'm in that list, right? Can't stay away from myself. But we're gonna look at this. We're gonna walk through this. So our desire, like I said earlier, is to approach Scripture and allow it to prune our lives, allow Holy Spirit to come, and work repentance in our lives. And you know, the cool thing is with this though, we're not expected to overcome these things by ourselves. Okay, so know that out of the get go, if you're in this list, which we all are to some degree at some point in our lives, you're not expected to overcome this stuff on your own, okay? Because if we could overcome this stuff on our own, then Jesus didn't need to die, right? And we don't need grace, but we do need grace because we can't do it on our own. And just as Hannah started out this evening with talking about the burden and the you know, the yoke, okay? That's where we come to Jesus, we lay these things at his feet and allow him to help us, right? Allow him to help us repent and turn from these things. So with that, we're going to start straight away with the very first thing that he mentions in verse 2. He says, "For people will be lovers of self," right? Lovers of self. So with that, now let's turn to Matthew 16. And I will say, before we even read these few verses in Matthew 16, I personally have been stuck here for the last 2 months. God took his highlighter and just kind of like highlighted this huge in my own life. Okay, and every time I turn around, I feel the Holy Ghost highlighter kind of showing up in my life saying, yep, this is where you need to deny yourself right here. Okay, so as I share this tonight, it's not because I've arrived in this area. It's because this is what the Lord is stirring in my heart, and I believe he's stirring in us as a church as well. So Matthew 16, we're going to read verses 24 through 28. It says, then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. Truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. So let's pray. Father, we just come before you tonight, God. We come before your word. God, we do thank you for your word. God, we recognize that sometimes it hurts. But God, I pray tonight that all of us would come before you, before your word, with humility. God, that we would come before you, God, with open hearts, open minds. Lord, I pray that your word would just speak to us. Holy Spirit, come and reveal your truth and your word to us, we pray tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 You know, have you ever met someone who is so consumed with themselves? And we've probably been there ourselves at some point in our lives, but you know, thinking about it, have you ever met someone that is just so wrapped up in themselves? It's always me, 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 and how I feel and what I want. You know, I'm sure we all have met someone to a degree at some point in our lives. Well, a few years ago, we had showed up to a particular city, and we had just taken a youth pastor position, and I was trying to build a relationship with other youth pastors and other worship leaders in the city. And I had met this guy. I don't remember. I don't think Twitter was around yet, but maybe MySpace. Or maybe it was actually old-fashioned email, right? That I had somehow corresponded with this guy. And we set up a time to have coffee together. And I was really excited about making this friend and building this relationship with a fellow person in ministry. And we sat down and we got our coffee, and all he's doing is me, 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 me. This is what I do. This is what I do. This is how great I am. This is how great. Da, 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 da. I'm like, really? And I left that time very disappointed because, you know, the dude was so wrapped up in his self. And I was like, well, maybe that was just kind of a moment, you know. So I just gave him the grace of that. But as I continued to get to know him a little bit, that's all it was me, 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 and come to my event, and this is what I'm doing, and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, man, have we missed the boat in this regard? Now, obviously, with this kind of situation, it's easier to see that in other people, right? It's not so much easy to see it in ourselves, right? Because Jesus talks about, you know, when you see that splinter in your brother's eye, you've got the whole log, you know, coming out of your own, right? So it's easier to see in other people, but not so much in our own life. Well, what we see here in Matthew 16, we see Jesus challenging us that if we're to come after him, that we're to deny ourselves, we're to pick up our cross, and we're to follow him, right? So this is the way of the kingdom of God, which would be contradictory to the kingdom of me, right? The series Kingdom of Me, it would be contradictory to the kingdom of me. These are the words that we don't necessarily like to quote Jesus saying, right? If we're all honest, this isn't the stuff we get all excited about. Yeah, I'm going to deny myself, right? Like we like to heal the sick, raise the dead, make disciples, love your neighbor, love God. Yeah, right? But deny yourself. You know, it kind of, we don't get too excited about those words. Because they're tough words to swallow, right? You know, it doesn't sound so fun or it doesn't sound easy, especially because it puts us on the chopping block, right? And to top it off, Jesus just kind of puts the icing on the cake. Just to make sure we understand what he's saying, he goes on to say, Jesus lets us know if we aim to save our life, we will lose it, right? If we aim to save our life, but if we lose our life for his sake, we will gain it, okay? And what does it profit if we gain the whole world but lose our soul? So really what he's saying is, what does it profit if you build your own kingdom and in the end it's just rubbish, right? What does it profit? So I think this passage with Jesus really correlates to what Paul is saying, that people will be lovers of themselves. So here we have this challenge to us to deny ourselves. When we become believers in Jesus, our life is no longer our own. Okay? Think about this as we jump into this passage. Our life is no longer our own. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 6 that we have been bought with a price. Right? We are no longer our own selves. Okay? We no longer own our own selves. We belong to Jesus. Okay? Think about it this way. Say you go to Target, you're wanting to buy a TV, and you got, you know, $300 in your pocket. You go into the store, you find that TV, and as long as that TV is in the store before you actually pay your money, that TV belongs to Target, right? It doesn't belong to you until you pay for it, right? So you go into the store, you see this TV, and it belongs to Target. But as soon as you pay that money, right, as soon as you swipe your card, as soon as you give them that cash, write them that check, you know, as soon as you do that, that TV is yours, right? So Target no longer has a say with what you do with that TV. You know, you could take that TV out to the parking lot and slam it on the concrete, right? And Target couldn't tell you not to do that. Well, they may be not happy that you're making a mess in their parking lot, but they cannot tell you what to do with that TV, right? Right? And it's the same with us, with our lives. We were bought with a price, right? We used to be like Target. We used to own ourselves and command ourselves and do all of that. But when Jesus paid the price for us and we made that exchange with him, when we surrendered our life to him, he now owns us. Okay? Do you see that? He now owns us. So ourself, okay, no longer are we Target telling ourselves what to do, or at least we shouldn't be. We should be listening to Jesus and listening to his commands. You know, think about it this way. If we have no conviction or care for how we live our lives after we come to Christ, then we really have not surrendered our life to him. Okay? If we live as we please, we are not doing what Jesus said of denying ourselves, picking up our cross, and following him. And I told you guys this was going to be a little heavy. It was a little heavy for me. Okay? But it's what he's challenging us with. So Paul lays out this challenge. In the last days, people will be lovers of themselves. And here we have Jesus saying, deny yourself. So we should get the picture and understand that as believers in Jesus, our self, our kingdom of me, needs to be laid down. Okay, think about it this way. As believers in Jesus, the kingdom of me cannot exist in the kingdom of God. Okay? The kingdom of me cannot exist in the kingdom of God. So very quickly, we're going to go through these three things: denying self, picking up our cross, and following Jesus. Okay? We're going to go through those really quick. So what does it mean to deny self? Okay? What does it mean? Deny in the dictionary has a few definitions, but one that stood out particularly, it means to refuse to grant, like to deny a request, to restrain oneself from gratification of desires. So denying ourselves would be to not give in to our own desires, our own wants, or our own opinions. You know, those things have really become king in our culture, really because they're king in our own lives, if we were honest, right? Our opinions, our gratifications, our desires. I was thinking about it this way, Finding Nemo, I'm sure a lot of us have seen it. You guys know when the bird swoops down and catches the fish in his mouth, and then all the other birds see the fish, right? And they're like, mine, 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 mine. You know, and they're so focused on what they want that they don't see the ship sail coming straight at them, right? And then they all get stuck, right? And they're still saying, mine, 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 right? Anybody seen the movie? Okay. No, thank you. But that's kind of what... You know, that's kind of what we're like in this situation when we're so focused on our own desires, our own wants, and our own opinions. But what Jesus says, if we follow him, he is to be king and not ourselves, right? So not loving self would be denying ourself. It would be taking our desires, our wants, and our opinions and not letting them rule our life. You know, this isn't necessarily fun to hear, but it's what Jesus is saying, okay? So does that mean we can't have desires? Does that mean we can't have opinions? Not necessarily, okay? But it does mean that our opinions, our desires, our wants, all of those things should be submitted to Jesus, okay? And he should be ruler and reigning over those things. A couple of examples for you. When Jesus says things like, if we even look at a woman and have lust in her heart, then we've committed adultery. I've heard guys say, well, it's natural, I've got hormones, I've got, you know, I'm supposed to do this, I'm supposed to look at a woman. If I don't look at a woman and, you know, lust after her, then I'm not a real man. Okay, that's hogwash, okay? What Jesus is saying here is our desires, we should lay those down, right? And so denying ourself would be saying no to that, no to lusting after a woman, right? Because what Jesus says, if we look at a woman and have lust in her heart, then we've committed adultery, right? So denying ourselves would be turning our head, would be closing our eyes, would be running from a situation that would cause lust to rise up in our heart. Okay? Isaiah, I'm gonna tell how proud I am of you for a moment. Is that okay? Okay. The other day he was looking something up for homework or a game or something, and there's different like wiki answers and all this kinds of websites or whatever. Well, we were on one of those sites and we were looking this stuff up together, and this scantily clad ad of a woman like popped up right on the page, right? Yeah, and immediately his little hand went up. I was like, yes, yes. So good job, Isaiah. But that's what we have to do, right? That's what we have to do. We have to deny ourselves the pleasure of that. Also, denying ourselves would be guarding against offense, right? Guarding against offense. We all have misunderstandings with people. We all have situations where we think people are out to get us, or that people purposefully forgot about us, right? It's really easy to fall into that. But is that really the case, right? I think sometimes Christians are the most offended people on the planet, right? We always think everyone's out to get us, right? And everyone's out to destroy us. You know, I was thinking about, you know, looking at Jesus, and he really, of all people, right? The Son of God, God in the flesh, of all people that could have got offended, it would have been Jesus, right? But in the moments that he did get offended, it wasn't because of himself. It was because of people abusing the kingdom of God or of going against the Father. Like, for instance, when he showed up at the temple and there was the money changers, right? He got pretty ticked. And it wasn't because of himself. It was because they were abusing the Father's house, right? Right? Well, how about the situation where Jesus is teaching at a house and his mom and his brothers show up and one of his disciples say to Jesus, hey, Jesus, your mom, your brothers are here to take you off. They think you've gone a little loopy, they think you're crazy. So they're gonna haul you off. Well, he could have taken offense to that, right? Oh, my mom, she thinks I'm crazy. You know, my brothers, he could have taken offense. How many of us would have taken offense? You know, don't raise your hand, right? But he didn't. What was his response? He said, "Who are my mother and my brothers? These people right here, right?" His focus was on the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of self, right? So we see this lived out in Jesus, right? And with denying ourselves, there's so many areas that this could apply in our lives. I would encourage all of us to allow Holy Spirit to search out our hearts and allow him to put his finger on those spots where we are not denying ourselves, right? Allow him to get out his highlighter, okay, and highlight in our lives. So he's called us to deny ourselves. Secondly, he's called us to pick up our cross, okay? What does that mean? What does that look like? Well, if you know anything about culture during this time, the Romans who were in charge at that point, that's how they would get rid of criminals, right? They would crucify them on a cross. They would hang them on a cross, nail them there, and then eventually the people would die, either from exasperation, is that the word, where they can't breathe, or they would stick a sword in them to kill them. What? That's not the right word. Well, Hannah's not in here to help me, so we'll move on. Asphyxiation. We'll go with that one. Yeah, it's a big word. They just can't breathe. Okay, how about that? So Jesus is kind of pointing to this cultural dynamic of being put to death, right? He's pointing to this dynamic of dying to self. So what does it mean for us to pick up our cross? What I think Jesus is saying here is he's saying to actually put actions to our good intentions of denying ourselves. Okay? What he's saying here, I believe, is actually put actions to your words of denying yourself. Right? We can sit here and we can read the list that Paul gave us and say, oh yeah, I need to work on that area and I need to give that to Jesus and I need to repent of that. Right? We can say that and we can pray, but then as soon as we walk out the doors, if we're not living it, then what's the point of us praying it, right? Right? So what he's saying here is actually living out of denying ourselves. That would be picking up our cross. It would actually be doing it. It would be putting works to our faith. Right? James talks about faith without works is dead. Right? You say you have faith, show me your works. Right? Our works are a response to our faith. Right? So that's what picking up our cross, it's the confirmation of us denying ourselves. Okay? Another way to look at it is this picking up of our cross is the daily tension of dying to ourselves, yet still living and making choices. Right? When Jesus had picked up his cross and he was walking up the hill, he was still physically alive, but his will had died. Right? His will had died the night before in the garden. Okay? He had died, he had denied himself in the garden. Do you guys remember what he prayed? He said, Father, if there's any way possible for this not to happen. That's not exactly what he prayed. You know, if it's possible for this cup to be passed from me, let it pass, right? He was saying, Dad, please, if there's any other way that this is possible, take this away. But then what did he say? He didn't leave it there, right? He said, not my will, but your will be done. He denied himself in that moment. And so we see Jesus picking up his cross and carrying it, and he was able to do it because he had denied himself. He had died to self. He was living not for the kingdom of me, but for the kingdom of God. So every day we are faced with the choice to deny ourselves and build the kingdom of God, or evaluate ourselves and build the kingdom, or elevate ourselves and build the kingdom of me. Couple of examples, couple of scenarios where we can pick up our cross. When we get in an argument with someone, say our spouse, our boyfriend, or girlfriend, maybe a coworker, we're probably arguing primarily because we think we're right. Right? Ed touched on that in the relationship conference. We're probably arguing primarily because we think we're right. But if you think about it in the long run, why does it matter? Right? Why does it matter? Why does it matter if someone understands we're to be right? Okay? Just kind of an example, sometimes our kids will be arguing and we'll be like, it's not that big of a deal, right? In the long-term, big picture scheme of things, it's not really that big of a deal, right? And we're like, but I'm right. You know, this I'm right. But what does it matter, right? So picking up a cross in that situation would be denying yourself the right to prove yourself, okay? Because the Lord said, I am your vindication, right? I am your vindication. There was a situation, it wasn't necessarily an argument, but we were in a situation and I had someone say something about Hannah and I that was completely untrue, and they said it in front of about 200 people, and it's like, oh my gosh, okay? And what they had to say was going to put us in a very negative light, in a very negative viewpoint of the people that heard this. And I immediately, I was like, okay, Lord, I'm going to give this to you. Now, I don't do this every time, okay? I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm just giving an example. But Lord, I'm going to give this to you. I know I'm right in this situation. I did not do what that person is saying I did. And I'm like, Lord, you're my vindication. I'm going to let you handle this. I'm going to let you take care of it. I kid you not. The next person that got up 30 seconds later to speak, to share after that person, they said, well, no, that's not Chris and Hannah. They didn't actually do that. It was like, thank you, Jesus, right? So picking up a cross, denying ourselves and picking up our cross would be not trying to fight our way to be right all the time, right? Allowing the Lord to be our vindication. Another situation
Another situation, another way to carry our cross. Maybe we're here and we struggle with being left out or feeling abandoned, okay? And so we just sit there thinking how sad we are and how lonely we are. And maybe we think, oh, poor me. You know, we've all been there, right? We've all struggled with loneliness to some degree. But this denying ourselves, picking up our cross, is a call to not have a pity party, right? It's a call to deny ourselves and pick up our cross. So a way that we as believers could pick up our cross is if we find ourselves in that situation where we're having a pity party, right? We pick up the phone and call someone, or we get on Facebook and say, message someone that is also lonely, right? That's denying ourselves, but it's actually doing the opposite. It's reaching out, right? And affecting someone else that may be struggling in the same way. So that would be denying ourselves and picking up our cross. What better way to deny ourselves than to actually put our selfishness to death? And that's what we've been called to do with picking up our cross. So Jesus said to pick up our cross, deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and then finally he said to follow him. Now, this follow him in the moment, even it wasn't just for the moment, when he was calling his disciples and calling us to follow him, it wasn't just to have them sign up for the discipleship program, right? He didn't have his nice booth at the conference with the nice graphics and everything. He's like, come and follow me, right? I've got this 3-year discipleship program, right? Right? It obviously was for life. We see that. It was for life. And he says, if anyone should come after me, should pick up his cross, or deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow me. So this is a call to be a lifer. Right? I don't know if you've ever heard that term, but a lifer, someone that is completely devoted all the way through to whatever cause that you're talking about. So this wasn't a call to simply attend church on Sundays the rest of your life, right? The disciples weren't signing up for saying, yeah, I'm going to attend service on Sundays or Saturday nights for the rest of my life. It wasn't just that, right? This wasn't a call just to better yourself or be a better person. This was a call out of the kingdom of me and into the kingdom of God. It was a lifelong calling. He's saying, guys, this God stuff isn't just a nice add-on to your life, right? It's not just another nice feature to your life, right? This isn't something to do just to make your life better. If you want to come after me, then everything else has to be laid down, okay? That's what he's saying here. Everything else has to be laid down. If you want to follow me, then you have to lay this down. Our dreams now belong to him. Our desires now belong to him. Our opinions now belong to him. And if we are in Christ, the kingdom of me should not exist. Does that mean we no longer get to dream or have desires? No, but what it does mean, all of those things should exist in submission to his dreams, right? All of those things should exist in submission to his dreams, his desires, and his opinions. So regardless of the cost, regardless of the pain, regardless of our reputation at stake, he is calling us to wholly follow him. To wholly follow him. He's calling us to tear down the kingdom of me and be a part of building the kingdom of God. And the cool thing is, he will help us do it. Okay? He will help us do it. So tonight, as we go back into worship to respond to this, there's three specific areas where I feel the Lord kind of highlighted. You may not be in these three specific areas. You may kind of fall in a different category, but if the Lord is working on your heart, you still need to respond. But these are three specifics that I feel the Lord just kind of highlighted for me, for us. I believe some of us here have dreams and ambitions that we're so wrapped up in that we've actually lost sight of Jesus himself. We're so wrapped up in that dream or that ministry or that job, and those dreams have become our identity, or those dreams have become our God. Okay? We must deny ourselves in these areas and ask him for grace to help us let go of those things. Right? You know, we have to be careful when it comes to dreams and visions, because does God give us dreams? Absolutely, right? Does God give us desires to do awesome things with our life? Absolutely. He created us with those desires and those dreams. But we can get so wrapped up in focused on that dream that we forget the dream giver, right? And that dream becomes our God and our King and our Master instead of the one that actually gave the dream. So maybe we're here, and that's kind of where we're at. Or maybe we're here, and some of us are wrapped up in actual sin, okay? For some of us, it's obvious sin. We know the sin we struggle with. We must allow Holy Spirit to come and strip those things out of our life. We must deny ourselves in these areas. We can do that by repenting, which is confessing our sin to God, turning from the sin, and pursuing Him, and ask for grace to overcome. Or thirdly, maybe some of us here are kind of blinded to our sin, our own sin, maybe like selfishness or pride. Some of us here are just so wrapped up in ourselves, or so wrapped up in people's opinions, in people's opinions of us. Okay? You may not think that that's selfish, or that's, but if we're so wrapped up in people's opinions of us, then we're living our life according to that opinion and not according to His opinion, right? I've struggled with that. I've struggled with the fear of man and cowering to people's opinions, right? We want people to like us, right? But when it comes to denying ourselves, we have to let that go, right? We live for His opinion and His opinion alone. Maybe we're wrapped up in putting on a good show, okay? That has got to go. That has got to go if that's something we struggle with. So I would encourage you tonight to, if that is you, to repent of selfishness and pride and to pursue Jesus. Okay? So let's pray tonight, and we're going to go back into worship. We're going to take some time.